This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll have a sober look of where we're at. Adam Carolla joins us. That'll make us laugh. Jeff Clark is here. How are deportations going? All that and more coming up on I'm Right. You want to know something I hate, but I also love it? It's that nothing is permanent in life. And this includes the stages of life you go through. There are times in your life where things are just working out great, where you got a good job, you're dating a pretty girl, life is good. And in those moments, you don't ever want them to change. You think to yourself, man, I'm going to be trending this way forever. But that's not true. Hard times are always coming. Vice versa, though. Maybe you're in a bad spot. Maybe you're in one of those valleys. It won't last forever. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Might be tomorrow. Things are going to turn around and things will be good. Nothing is permanent. And that exact same thing applies to politics. And we love that when it's the Joe Biden years. When it's the Joe Biden years and we're just in this commie hell, and everyone's getting arrested and shot, and everything's gay, it's freaking terrible. But that's the comfort we use to go to sleep at night, isn't it? Oh, thank God, it'll end someday. But when we win, last November, huge victory. Trump wins, even wins a popular vote. We win the House, we win the Senate. We have it all. We don't want to think to ourselves, man, it'll end, though. But it will. And I don't know that it's going to end in the midterms or 2028 or 2032. I don't know. But I know it will at some point in time. So let's assess where we're at. You remember Democrats just created five-hour wait times at the airport? You remember that? Because of that shutdown. We're not going to fund ICE. Melt ICE! All that other crap. You remember that? Yeah. Democrats did that when they were in the minority party in one of the two houses, in the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives did that. Okay? Prediction markets, and we don't know whether or not those are accurate, they're just predictions. Prediction markets are now saying Democrats are going to take the House and they're likely to take the Senate. Do you know what the last 2 years are going to be if the Democrats take the House and the Senate? They created five-hour wait times as the minority party. What are they going to do as the majority? Well, let's just think about it for a moment. Hearings, lots of them. You see, if they're running the Senate and they're running the House, well, I get used to seeing members of the Trump administration hauled in front of Congress to answer some hard questions. There will be, go ahead and write this one down, subpoenas after subpoenas after subpoenas. Donald Trump will be impeached. I don't know whether or not they'll have the votes to actually remove him from office, but he will be impeached. Democrats will wage political terror, a political terror campaign, if they take back the House and the Senate. We stand here right now, the feckless GOP can't even pass the SAVE Act, and we look around in desperation, correctly so, because we understand these barbarians are coming back. And this is my chief concern. This is why I am so America first, to be honest, America only at this point in time. It's not that I don't acknowledge there are other things going on all over the globe that are important. I know there most definitely are. But the number one thing that you and I should fear is communists coming back to power in the United States of America. That has to be our number one goal, preventing that. Because if that happens, I don't care if the rest of the world is perfect, world peace everywhere else, these freaking savages are going to arrest, assault, and murder us as fast as they possibly can, the way communists have always done. And this is why I have screamed repeatedly for over a year now. I'm not a last month person on this, that Donald Trump 2.0 has to focus domestically and has to be seen focusing domestically. Otherwise, we will lose power. Gas prices are high. Diesel is high. The jobs market is crap. Everyone looking for a job knows it. We get numbers out there. We've got a good jobs report, and then we dig into it. Yeah, it all went to foreigners. Americans are losing their jobs. The few jobs we're gaining are being handed out to foreigners. Americans are losing. And as long as that continues, the Americans who are losing are going to look to blame somebody. And they will blame the party that holds the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And you can scream at these people till you're blue in the face, well, we don't have the votes. They don't care, and they will not listen. Now, I don't listen to Joe Rogan or Theo Vaughn. Nothing against either of those, but I don't listen to anybody. I want to come up with my own opinion, so I don't listen to anyone. But I do know that I do know this. Independents listen to them. Young men listen to them. Donald Trump knew this. That's part of the reason he's president. That's part of the reason he did both of their shows. He knew that the people who listen to these men can help form a political coalition. How's that coalition looking?
I'm confused. I can't believe we went to this war. When we started bombing Iran, I was like, this can't be true.
And what about Lebanon now?
I know. Israel's invaded Lebanon. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, just fucking stop. Like, what do you need?
Well, they're trying to, supposedly, they're trying to stop the terrorists.
Yeah, that's crazy, though, if you're the fucking terrorist. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to stop them, fucking stand in front of the fucking mirror and start there. But also, what do I know?
What do you know?
You're right. I don't. But it's all just like, there's got to be some way that we're better than.
Look, yell at them all you want. Disagree with them all you want. Well, we're not the terrorists. I understand that. The people who listen to those men are the people who put Donald Trump in the White House. I know you voted for him, so did I. And if he was up for re-election again tomorrow and it was legal, I'd vote for him again. I don't regret my vote. But he is not president of the United States of America because you and I voted for him. You were already going to vote for him, and so was I. He's president because the young men who listened to those two were angry. They heard there was a man who was going to make things better for them, make their economy better, make the jobs market better, make things more affordable. And right now, all they're getting is higher gas prices. That's all they're getting. And my fear is that the worst people in the world are going to take power and hurt you. You know, there was a rumor, some stupid rumor, because Trump went to Walter Reed Hospital, but there was some stupid rumor over the weekend that Trump was dead or something like that. It was always a ridiculous rumor. But how did Democrats respond?
You guys, he's at Walter Reed. He's at Walter Reed! He's at Walter Reed! They have pictures of him at Walter Reed. Okay, listen. Witches of TikTok. Witches of TikTok. Witches of TikTok. We gotta do the woo-woo. The woo-woo is this. I live in a world that is Trump-free. I live in every day that I wake up, I never, ever have to be concerned with what a psychopath is doing to our country. I live in a comfortable environment where we never have to worry about the safety of children and women ever again. That man can no longer touch anyone, hurt anyone, or can be my concern ever again. Woo-woo, woo-woo. Let's get this done. And Iran, if you're listening, it's probably an Abbott. It's probably Abbott Healthcare. So if there's a serial number, do your thing. Thanks.
The worst, most demonic people in the world are communists. We have a country full of them. They now run the Democrat Party from top to bottom. Democrats, even if they think things like impeachment are unpopular, or maybe even in their heart they think they may be wrong, Democrats will impeach Donald Trump because their rabid animal demonic base will demand it. That's why they're already out there promising it.
Democrats win the House and possibly the Senate in November, there's a better than even chance Donald Trump gets impeached again.
Absolutely. He should be impeached now. I mean, he's taken us into a disastrous war, threatening war crimes in Iran in terms of knocking out people, plants and knocking out electricity. And the Democrats will impeach him once we take back the House, and should impeach him for all the things he's done. And depending on the Senate, he may face conviction if we get to 60.
Between now and November, the Trump administration and Republicans in the House and Senate have to plant themselves right here at home. And when they give press conferences, they have to talk about things right here at home. The American, the independent, who goes whichever way the wind blows, every time he turns on the television set, he has to see a president, a political party who is working exclusively for him. If between now and November, the Republican Party is talking about everything but things right here at home, impeachment's coming. A political terror campaign is coming. And all these other things people are concerned about are going to seem so very, very unimportant in that day. If I sound frustrated, it's because I am. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am sadly right. We'll talk to Adam Carolla about, well, let's go out to California and see what it's like when these communists rule. Before we do that, let's get some natural herbal supplements in your body. Let's get you on some chalk. You see, natural herbal supplements from chalk will change your life. It'll change your mood. You will work better. You're just better at work. You're better at school. You're better at home. What would your life change if you had energy all the time? What in your life would change if you felt good when you got home from work at the end of the day? You're ready to go. Hey, let's go out. I'm going to go for a walk. Chalk can do that for you. Naturally, not needles in your arm. We're talking 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. chok.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
An up-close, exclusive look underground at living conditions too extreme for words.
It's hard to imagine someone
living in there.
Trash, human waste, and an overpowering stench.
I gotta get back.
Just moments earlier, we watched someone climb out of that storm drain using the sewer as shelter.
Water and food?
Her answer's hard to understand. But the area, 88th and South Grand, overwhelmed with RVs, tents, and trash.
Hello, yes.
Juan Nala with nonprofit Clean LA with me was picking up garbage here Monday.
We got a lady living down there.
When he saw not one, but two people emerge from the storm drain.
I can't explain that. You know, a person living like a rat, worse than a rat? Come on, it's a human being. Why are we accepting this? Why? All the officials, they have to do something. They have to fix this problem.
It pisses me off. That's why I was like, what y'all doing? Finna tell them to clean it up?
People don't understand how beautiful Southern California is. If you've ever flown into Los Angeles, it's paradise. You're flying in and you're thinking to yourself, this is paradise, the mountains and the ocean, and it's 80 degrees year-round. And then you land, and it's a total dump. Joining me now, Adam Carolla of the great Adam Carolla Show. Adam, how in God's name did people manage to destroy something as beautiful as Southern California?
Well, other nations, and I should say other states, sort of have to hustle. So picture this. Other states, many of them, are like a fat chick in high school who has to really study hard and really be focused and dedicated. And California is like a tall, hot blonde who never studied, always had a date for the prom, phone rang every Friday night, never bought a drink for themselves. And now that blonde is turning 50. And the phone's not really ringing so much anymore. And that's it. No, I mean it. We got by on our looks. Because every time you heard Newsom or Brown or any governor or any, they'd go, where else could you be skiing at 10 in the morning and surfing at 3 in the afternoon? Where? It was never about the economy. It was never about their policies. It was never about the price of gas or food. It was always, where else could you be in the mountains skiing and then out in Malibu drinking a pina colada same day? You know, so we got by on our topography.
Are the people okay with it? And I know that's almost a lame question to ask, but every election that comes up, Karen Bass is up for election. This is a woman who traveled to Cuba for communist training. And you're thinking to yourself, well, surely the people of Los Angeles have, they've finally had enough now. They've had enough of the costs ahead of the Palisades fire. They've surely had enough, but it never, ever appears that they've had enough. Why?
People here are narcissists, and narcissists never admit they're wrong. They never admit they're wrong. And they all voted for these people, and they were all wrong. And it's basically they have the same relationship with politicians in California as they did with COVID. They all yelled at everyone to wear masks. They all yelled at everyone to get vaccinated. They all yelled at everyone to get off the hiking trail. And they were all wrong about all of it. And none of them have said a word since. No one ever said, I'm sorry, I was wrong. All they've done is circle back and go, we didn't know at the time, or Fauci didn't know, whatever it is. So they cannot take any ownership for their horrible ideas. And essentially, when you vote for the wrong party, you just have to admit that maybe you're not thinking correctly. Like, you have to go find a mirror and figure out what's going on with your own intelligence level, and nobody wants to do that in California. It's packed full of narcissists. Now, it's not like California creates narcissists. California attracts narcissists. So we get the top 10 a-holes of everybody in every city in America, and they all end up here staring into a mirror.
Why? Why do they attract narcissists there more than other places?
Because if you grew up in some town in Indiana and basically your life was a John Cougar Mellencamp song, you just married Becky, your best girl, and you went down to the soda shop and had a knee high, and you inherited your grandpa's ranch, and you ranch that, you know, you work that land. But here, everyone comes here to be a star, to be a producer, to be with the beautiful people. So it literally attracts narcissists. Staying in your hometown of Muncie and farming soybean is not really a narcissist make.
Okay, so one of my favorite clips in the world is this clip of Gavin Newsom. It's a little bit of an older clip, but it's circulating as he ramps up to run for president. Here it is.
Governor, you got a second? Governor, I live here, Governor. That was my daughter's school, Governor. Please tell me what you're going to do. I'm not going to hurt him, I promise.
I'm literally talking to the president right now to specifically answer the question of what we can do for you and your daughter.
Can I hear it? Can I hear your call? Because I don't believe it.
I'm sorry. There's literally, I've tried 5 times. That's why I'm walking around to make the
call.
Why
is the president not taking your call?
Because it's not going through. So
why?
I have to get cell service.
So let's get it. Let's get it. I want to be here when you call the president.
By the way, she's a piece of work, too. She's a perfect California person, too. You hear her? So this is narcissist on narcissist crime going on over there. You got to watch Gavin Newsom. You turn the sound down. He's literally pantomiming someone who's honest. He points at his phone, then he points at her, then he points at himself. It's like he's doing a hula dance where they tell the story of the elders that came here on kayaks and parted the sea. You know, you watch his hands. He lies with his hands. He's a sociopath. I mean, I've interviewed him, obviously. He's just, there's something wrong with him is what I would say.
People on the right have convinced themselves of something, Adam, and I'm curious your take on this. People on the right have convinced themselves, as Gavin Newsom runs for president, that the disastrous way he has led California is going to hurt his chances to be president. There's the fraud, there's the filth, there's the cost, there's everything else, all the problems of California you could point out. And we comfort ourselves with this notion that that disaster is somehow going to hamper his run for president. And I don't know if I buy that. Do you buy that?
I'm not putting anything past anybody anymore in terms of voters. You know, California, well, Los Angeles, I mean, we have a socialist or communist mayor, and the front runner to be the next mayor is either the incumbent, which is Bass, who's a socialist, probably communist, and then there's Nithya Raman, who's the front runner, who's also in a socialist. So we'll just do it. And it's bizarre, but I don't know why these people don't see the difference between, you know, like a, you know, let's just say Rubio or J.D. Vance and Gavin Newsom, but they don't. But the bottom line is they vote blue and that's it. They're not into changing their mind at all. I here's what I think. Look, I'll put it to you this way. They're in lockstep and they'll do whatever it takes. Conservatives fight all the time amongst each other and disagree on a host of subjects. What? Give me something that the left disagrees with each other on. Like, you take all of COVID. Was there one thing that any prominent leftist or Democrat disagreed with? Did one of them raise their hand and go, I don't think these masks work. I think it's a waste of time. Did one say anything about immunity, natural immunity, vaccines, Wuhan lab? None of them thought the thing came from a lab. They all think it came from a wet market. They're in lockstep. Now, Republicans constantly argue about stuff, as we do, because we're intellectually honest. We're not in some cult, and they're in some cult. They're in a cult that they don't want to be extracted from. So they'll all just vote for whoever has a D by their name, and if that's Gavin Newsom, they're voting for him.
Not to psychologize it, but does it just come down to the fact that so many people, they really do want to be slaves? We make this mistake of convincing ourselves people want to be free. No, some people want to be free. Some people don't want to be free at all.
Not at all. They'd much rather be taken care of than free. Free is what I was when I was 19 and I had no job and I lived in my dad's garage and I had no money and wasn't going to college. I was perfectly free to do anything I wanted all day, every day, which was nothing. I didn't have a pot to piss in. And that, I was free, but I would have taken somebody taking care of me over freedom. Freedom is really something successful people want. If you think about it, it's something that honest, hardworking, industrious people want. It's something that you and I want. It's not something a lazy, dumb person wants.
I want to come back to Gavin Newsom and more specifically his wife, because there is something happening right now and it gives me the snickers every single day. It seems like I get to laugh about this. Gavin Newsom bending over backwards to try to make himself seem like not a complete psychopath, which of course he is. And then comes his wife, who can't shut her freaking mouth. Mays Moore put together this montage. Here it is.
We're all human beings. Gender's a spectrum anyway. It's a social construct. There's so much to learn from same-sex couples who have learned to communicate. I've given our boys dolls. Even if they tear the head off, I've given them dolls. I don't know if our country is ready for first partner. Sadly, I don't know if they are.
Oh, God.
She's got to be doing this on purpose, right?
Well, let me just tell you my head on this. And by the way, she never stops talking about females being oppressed in 2026 in the United States and in California from her $8 million home. But either way, it's all female rights. And I don't even know what she's talking about anymore at this point. But I will. Here's what I will say. And I want people to understand this. The reason California is a dumpster fire is because the people, whether it be Karen Bass or Gavin Newsom or Jennifer, his wife, they're not interested in managing the forest. They're not interested in filling the aqueducts. They're not interested in infrastructure. They're interested in this. This is what she's interested in. These are her subjects. This is what they talk about. They talk about the LGBT community. They talk about standing up to ICE. They talk about no one is illegal. They talk about women's rights and gays' rights and standing up for trans vision day and everything. That's what they're interested in. And that's why the place is falling apart, because they're not interested in the stuff we're interested in, which is filling potholes and getting a monorail that goes to the airport functional. They're not into any of that. They're into good vibes and they're into feelings. Now, this is what they talk about. That's all they're interested in. If Mike Rowe, every time Mike Rowe gets up and starts talking to Mike Rowe, what's he talking about? He talks about jobs. He talks about trades. He talks about building trade schools. He talks about vocational training. You want to know why? Because that's what he's interested in. So she's interested in this. Karen Bass was in Ghana while this place was burning to the ground because she's interested in going to Ghana and being involved with ceremonies. Donald Trump would never be in Ghana ever because he's not interested in it. And it comes down to that, people.
I almost forgot that Karen Bass was in Ghana with some bizarre citizenship celebration. It's just too good. Adam,
right, but if he said to you, brother. If he said to you or said to me, you want to go to Ghana, I'd go, hell no, I'm running this city. I'm not going to Ghana.
Adam, appreciate you as always, man. You're the man. She was in Ghana. It's funny because I didn't know this at the time. Right before the Palisades fire happened and Karen Bass got busted being in Ghana, my wife and I were at a bar and grill in New York City having dinner. And we were watching a game, so we were sitting at the bar, and there was this lady beside me, this black lady beside me, and she told us, she was telling us this story about how she just got back from Ghana because they were giving out citizenship to people who could trace their lineage back to Ghana and how it's the greatest thing in the world. And then the next day in the news, Karen Bass is in Ghana. So stupid. Anyway, Jeff Clark. We're going to talk about immigration with Jeff Clark next. Before we talk to Jeff, let me talk to you about getting a good night's sleep. It's Monday. Did you wake up fired up and ready to go? And did you wake up dragging because you didn't sleep last night? I slept like a baby. 9 hours straight. How's that possible? Shouldn't it have been Sunday night? All the stresses and concerns? Well, I had a cup of hot chocolate. About 8:30 last night, maybe 9 o'clock. I put a couple scoops of Dream Powder from Beam in a cup, some milk in there, threw it in the microwave, mixed it up, just sat there and sipped on cinnamon hot chocolate. And then I drifted off to sleep for 9 straight hours. No drugs, natural things in it. Go get a bag and sleep like that. How's 9 hours sound? Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
आपको पता है हम देसी कम्युनिटी न्यू जर्सी के सबसे बड़े कम्युनिटीज में से एक हैं. मेरा नाम जय वांगनकर है और मैं जून 2 को कांग्रेस के लिए इलेक्शन लड़ रहा हूँ. लेकिन बहुत सालों से हमारी देसी वॉइसेस पॉलिटिक्स में फुली रिप्रेजेंट नहीं हुई हैं. अब वक्त आ गया है कि हमारी आवाज सच में सुनी जाए. इसलिए मैं कांग्रेस के लिए इलेक्शन लड़ रहा हूं.
We're in a great place. Really great place. That guy's running for Congress in New Jersey, by the way. Joining me now, Jeff Clark, Vice President of the Litigation for the Oversight Project. He's going to update us on that. Former acting administrator at the old OMB. Jeff, we talk a lot about illegal immigration, and rightfully so. It's such a problem in this country, but immigration en masse doesn't suddenly become wonderful just because some scumbag politician determines that it's legal.
I think that's right. Look, what we're really looking at here, Jesse, is a scheme by the Democrat Party to import voters, right? And however they can import them, whether legally or illegally, they're going to do that. And that's in their political interests. They believe that they get the people in early, and they get them into the Democrat Party because they promise them all kinds of goodies, and oftentimes they deliver on that because of the generosity of our nation and how many welfare benefits, both at the at the federal, state, and local levels, that they can deliver. And then, you know, it takes a generation or two, and the people kind of realize that look, you know, the whole nation will go into the direction of the nations they came from if things don't stop. So I'm worried, and the Oversight Project that I'm with now worries about, and the larger mass deportation coalition that I want to talk about is worried about all these issues. We're worried about them not just because of their economic impacts, not just because of their political impacts, but because of their impacts, Jesse, in destroying the character of the nation. You know, there's the whole metaphor of having a melting pot, right? But before you start making anything on the stove, you got to have an idea of what you're actually trying to make. And to me, it's one thing to help bring new people into the body politic, you know, a little bit at a time. It's quite another thing to imagine you throw everything in the kitchen sink in there. All you get in the mix is a mess and a whole bunch of social and economic problems that, you know, could become impossible to solve if we don't start solving them right now.
Yeah. Adding lima beans to my mac and cheese does not make it a melting pot. Tell me about the mass deportation coalition. Tell me about the Oversight Project. Jeff, tell me what you're doing. I'm a fan of yours. I know if you're involved, you're trying to get something good done.
Well, thanks, Jesse. Appreciate that. So the Mass Deportation Coalition, about 40 to 50 groups, like 45 is probably the best number to use. We've all come together because we want to see President Trump and the MAGA Republican Party make good on its campaign promise, which was to engage in mass deportation, not just to remove the worst of the worst. And so, you know, if you think of things in stages, we have a stage of sealing the border that's been quite successful. We, you know, see record numbers there compared to the wide open borders and the encouragement to come across the border that happened in the Biden administration and with Alejandro Mayorkas. That needed to end. That stopped. Of course, efforts to continue building the wall go forward. And then the second stage really was to get rid of criminal illegal aliens. And, you know, there have been successes there. But more than that, we want to get to the stage of actually reversing the mass flow, the millions who flooded across the border. And we, you know, think of them as invaders because they clearly violated U.S. law. And we're at a crossroads in the country, essentially, where if we don't do that, these changes, you know, your mac and cheese and lima bean combination is going to become irreversible. And at some level, right, that kind of, you know, it's a homely metaphor, but in reality, the nation's character will be fundamentally changed. We have all kinds of problems. And by taking an aggressive enforcement position, which we clearly have the powers under existing federal immigration law to do, and resources, which the One Big Beautiful Bill Act provided, and which exist also in terms of the baseline of immigration enforcement, we can and will achieve, this is our goal at the Mass Deportation Project, 1 million deportations a year. We need to get on track for that, Jesse. We need to just keep pushing until we can get that done. It can be done. And anybody, look, I know of a whole area in Fairfax County, Virginia, near a community college, where the local 7-Elevens and a few other stores that are very close to that, you can just see the illegal aliens line up every morning to try to get day work. If the federal government took an aggressive approach at workplace enforcement, at going to places like that that I just described, but going to all sorts of businesses that are well known to employ vast numbers of illegal aliens, and they started looking for their documentation and then penalizing the employers as well for employing them, this problem would stop. And we need to make it stop, Jesse, so that we can get to the place of an America that I recognize and you would recognize again, not like that campaign ad you just played.
Jeff, you say we need to get on track for that, and I agree, but that tends to make me think we're not on track for that. I understand that Donald Trump, the Trump administration, cannot snap their fingers and get us on track for that because our system is built to import and not export. But are we trending in the right direction?
Well, part of the problem is we don't have access to the data. We keep trying to get access to the data, Jesse, and you know, the administration needs to do a better job on that. It needs to get out accurate numbers so that we can track it. You know, we have the idea that there should be regularized metrics and tracking so that we can see whether we're on target to get the 1 million deportations a year done for each of the remaining years of the Trump 47 administration. So we welcome any help you and your viewers can provide to keep the pressure on to get that data out to us. But look, you know, what we're focused on in our 104-page mass deportation playbook is you can orient to a law enforcement approach to this. You don't have to orient to this protect you know, the inflows, the importation, as you said, in a disproportionate way. You know, there's a constant focus on the issue of due process. When we go to deport someone, they claim, oh, you know, I'm being denied due process. But there's a genius in how due process was defined in the U.S. Constitution. It wasn't a set of particulars like you have to be able to get a trial. You have to be able to get a trial that includes the right to call adversary witnesses. You have to be able to cross-examine. All those details were left within the vague term due, right? How much process is due? And I submit to you that how much process is due has to depend on the context of the problem that the federal government is trying to solve. And that problem is a problem of the mass importation of millions of people. You can't provide an individualized trial, and Stephen Miller's pointed this out repeatedly, to each and every illegal alien, or you'll never deport all the people who need to be deported. You know, it'll still be a century from now, and we'll still be working through the backlog. So the courts have been obstructionist on this. They need to get out of the way, and we need to help them through the Mass Deportation Coalition and renewed enforcement efforts, get the right cases up to the courts of appeals and up to the Supreme Court so they can make clear that there can be bold and rapid action to reverse the inflow of immigration that we saw just explode under the Biden administration 4 years ago.
Jeff, let's set aside illegal immigration for a moment and discuss the legal immigration portion of this. Every day you turn on the news and you find out about another corporation fires 5,000 Americans, hires 5,000 people from India. Of course, the, you know, H-1B and all these other things. Well, that's not sustainable either, and nor is it the correct way to run a country. But I also understand very large GOP donors prefer it stays that way. How do we overcome that little problem?
That's a difficult problem. I think it starts with culture at an important level, right? And education. We've gotten to a place where especially the multinational corporations in America don't think of themselves as citizens of the United States and of trying to promote economic nationalism in the United States for the benefit of our people. They basically, you know, go into a kind of cosmopolitan thinking, a thinking of, you know, now that they've made it big and they're making, you know, millions of dollars as CEOs or as other people in the so-called corporate C-suite, that, you know, they're living really in a kind of stateless society. And, you know, we can't let that happen. We have to constantly hold their feet to the fire, and we have to resist any idea that, you know, they're not citizens of the United States. And if political pressure is brought to bear on them, then they do respond. I mean, look how President Trump essentially, in various ways, has brought big tech along. And that's not to say that there isn't more progress that can be done there, but they're behaving in many ways differently than they were behaving in the Biden administration. And you know, the whole issue of AI, right? There's been a major push, but there's been a major push in a way that is more economically nationalist in some ways. To take this point, in order to run the data centers, right, a lot of power is required. And if you looked at the crazy environmental laws that were foisted upon us by the Biden administration, the Obama administration, the Clinton administration, building those centers would not have been possible. And they're providing U.S. jobs. They provide a competitive edge for the U.S. versus China. And they also are part of the national security, because if we lose the AI race, Jesse, you know, then I think we're looking at more disemployment in America rather than less.
Jeff, Attorney General Pam Bondi is out for whatever reason. I'm sure all those reasons won't come out for quite some time. But now we have to replace her with somebody. Who do you want to see? Who do you think we're going to see? Who can get through a Senate that is going to be a tough nut to crack? We have some GOPers that are complete losers in there. What are we looking at here?
Well, look, I think the thing to realize is not to just focus on the narrow issue of the president nominates someone, then they have to get through first the Senate Judiciary Committee and then, you know, have at least 60 votes so that they can pass cloture and go on to a floor vote, even if the floor vote, you know, winds up to be 51-49 or 50-50, and then J.D. Vance comes in to break the tie. The president has other tools. One of those tools, which I had written about at the end of the Biden administration, is the recess appointment clause power. Let me put footnote in that for a second. And the second power is there are a lot of people who might be more energetic, who are at the Justice Department currently, who are in other parts of the executive branch, who could be brought over under the Federal Vacancies Reform Act to serve as the acting attorney general. And the fact that those tools exist can also be used by the president as leverage in his discussions with the Senate to say, look, I'm not just, you know, you just can't hold me hostage to get 60 people on board. And then I get, you know, a nominee who is not entirely on board with my program, but is more on board with the 60 people in the Senate who are going to vote for him or her. And so I think you have to look at those other tools. But the tool that I'm most fond of, and I think that the president working with Mike Johnson in the House could trigger, is that there's a clear power under the Constitution for the president to put both houses into recess if the houses disagree about going into recess. And the House and Senate have gotten into this habit. Well, the Senate's the really relevant House for purposes of confirming executive branch appointees, where they go into a pro forma recess. In other words, not a real recess. And in any event, the recess doesn't last the requisite 10 days or more that the Supreme Court has identified has to last before the president's recess appointment clause power picks up and kicks in. So the House, if Mike Johnson took the House into recess, even if Majority Leader Thune decided to keep the Senate in, even in one of these pro forma sessions, whether that or in a real session or not, then the president could say, look, I'm sending you both into recess. As long as that recess goes 10 plus days, then the president can appoint people. Then he doesn't have to worry about the 60 vote cloture threshold anymore. He doesn't have to worry about even getting to at least a 50-50 tie that J.D. Vance can break. So the president has aggressive tools if he wants to use them. And I think now is the time to use them so that we, you know, I think the American people are quite frustrated, Jesse, that there hasn't been more accountability for all of the lawfare and all of the silliness like the Russia hoax against President Trump. I think President Trump's frustrated by that. It's time for some radical accountability. And I think that means getting more muscular and using these kinds of tools.
I agree. Jeff, thank you for everything, man. Please come back. We have Lighten the Mood. Before we lighten the mood, let's lighten your bill expenses, shall we? Look, beat inflation, everyone's talking about it right now. Well, prices aren't coming back down. They're not. Sucks. It's freaking horrible. But they're not. Prices don't come back down. So how do you save money? Now that you've lost 25% at least of your earning power, well, you could switch to PureTalk. You don't need Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. PureTalk's on the same towers. PureTalk lets you keep your phone, keep your number. Average family saves $1,000 a year when they switch to PureTalk. Look, I can't return the value of your dollar to you, but I can tell you ways to save money that don't cost you a thing. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And it never hurts to look back and think about how bad it was, especially, you know, it's easy to feel down about this or that today, but I want to remind you that it wasn't that long ago this man was president of the United States of America. Lost. Running the country. Lost. Let's see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.